I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hey folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. We are here live at FanFest, BYU FanFest. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, of course, all of this is brought to you by Economics Partners, one of the nation's premier business valuation and strategic advisory firms. I got to tell you last night, okay, at the Utah game.
Yeah.
It is so cool how the stadium's changed. I mean, it's not even the same stadium.
We've been in it a couple times since the renovation.
But to be where I was, to be up high and to see the whole thing, it really feels like a brand new stadium. It's completely new.
Here's the deal, though. It's going to take to get to that Wazoo game. The next home game's Wazoo, right?
Right, yeah.
Because last night, false start with the weather.
Big time.
People weren't even at the
not everybody Thursday was night.
Thursday night games, we have people coming off the freeway at like 5:50, yes. And they were told it was a lightning delay.
Yes.
So that 51,500 fans as the sellout was a little bit
We did talk to Coach Whittingham about the noise, you know.
What'd he say?
And he goes, yeah, oh, yeah.
It's different.
He goes, it's different, but he said what you're saying. He goes, when we get a Pac-12 game in here and we get this place loaded, that is going to be that's going to be a definite advantage.
It's fun to get the season going, to get things back underway, and that's one thing that talking about Utah's game last night, and there's a little bit of a side of me too where you guys are already breaking down everything. You broke everything down last night. You have a day to think about it as well. All these players are running through all the stuff that they could have done better. Or you kind of start to get an idea of, ooh, Charlie Brewer could really do this, this, and this. These tight ends could be amazing. And then there's BYU just sitting around. We're waiting to see. They haven't even kicked off yet. There's this part of you that goes, oh, shoot, they got a couple days advantage on BYU. But when you have a game like this with Arizona tomorrow that is a team that just is not put together yet,
right?
Is that a great place to start for BYU, like almost as a tune-up kind of feeling as well?
It makes you a little nervous because anyone can change significantly in college football now because of the transfer portal. But you look at Utah's game last night, and you look at the running back situation. I mean, the transfer portal running backs who played for Utah were not the most. They weren't. Now they may be at the end of the day, but they were probably 3 and 4 as far as how they rated on the depth chart. Theo Howard, who was a wide receiver, he was probably the fourth or fifth wide receiver. I mean, he was good. Don't get me wrong, but he was still kind of new to everything. So you're gonna have talent. You're gonna have an infusion of talent, but it's gonna be inexperienced. You're just not gonna have the flow. So if you're gonna play a team like Arizona, yeah, you absolutely want to play them early in the season because they are going to be disjointed. They are going to have a lot of mistakes. There is going to be a lot of confusion. They're probably not going to play as aggressive or as confident as maybe they played down the road. So yeah, I like this. I love this matchup for BYU. Actually,
let's talk quarterbacks. We've got a couple now that we're able to chat about, and really it's going to be after Jaren's first game tomorrow. I don't want to say a grade because the last night was so interesting with Charlie Brewer because he looked pretty confident, and those couple of drops that could have been the easy touchdowns to guys that you're like, these are sure-handed dudes usually. I was thinking to myself, oh, Charlie Brewer is supposed to be up in his head right now going, what is you guys' problem? But In the end, leaving a couple touchdowns on the field actually is probably good for a guy, right, where you go, hey, got a lot we can work on. And the throws were there. The routes were there.
It's a really good game to start with if you're Utah, but it's also a really good, like, we can get a lot better game. Charlie Brewer was very accurate throwing the football. He was very accurate. But he still had some throws that were like, oh, he really wants those back. Would love to have those throws back. He actually missed the first play of the game. He was short on the throw. There were a couple of throws that he wasn't quite as accurate on, you know, moving around in the pocket that could have been really, really big plays. And I know he's just kicking himself because normally he's pretty accurate with the football. So always improvement. And you never really know where you are until you get out in a game and you just go through it. Your mind can just wander so many directions. As you mentioned, you know, here BYU's sitting here. They've watched Utah play now, and they're like, who are we going to be and what are we going to be? And their minds, you know, can really play tricks on themselves because they just want to get out on the field. And then once you get out there and you go, okay, I'm calm, and then you look back at the film after the game's over, and that's why you just see this massive improvement from game one to game two. You just clean up so many things, and you just gain so much confidence in that 1 week of time.
Now that game's in the books, you throw that one in there. What would be the thing that they probably, as a team, had to work on the most? Bill talked about special teams. Some of those mistakes are just – I mean, the part where you're yelling for guys to get on the field because you got 10 guys on the field, like – that's the type of stuff that is, you know, the equivalent of like an early season false start penalty, all those kinds of things. What do you think that you look at that team and you see what happened last night? Where do you look and go, oh, I don't know about that group yet? Is it the offensive line? Is it the defensive line?
If there's one area where I think they need improvement is in the secondary. And it's kind of like that every year. You have Morgan Scally, who was a former safety. You know, he's the defensive coordinator, so he knows those positions. He knows what it's like to be out there.
How many All-Americans in the backfield, yeah, in that defensive backfield they had, too.
And they put a lot of guys, a lot of pressure on that secondary. And there are just some techniques things. There's some kind of playing loose in coverage. I don't know if you remember 2019 when Utah played BYU that first game of the season. And that the play in the secondary was just a little bit tentative. They were just playing a little bit too off. And Utah can get pressure with its front four. And so you don't want to give the quarterback an easy out. And that was kind of something I saw last night. Weber State could not hold on to the ball. They couldn't hold on to the ball for 2 seconds, or they were going to get annihilated. So everything was quick. And when they have to throw quick, you got to challenge them. You got to challenge them, make the throws tougher, make those catching windows a little bit tighter, and just make it hard on them. And that was the one area. Devin Lloyd, like as advertised, he was all over the field. And the names, Mika Tafua, was all over the place. Offensive line, actually, I was at, my surprise of the game was the offensive line, and that they did a pretty nice job of run blocking and pass protection. I mean, Charlie Brewer had time. The actual one goal line play was on one of the tight ends, and it was actually Brant Keithy who just got off the ball late, and the guy beat him to the inside. So, but the offensive line looked really good. It'll be interesting to watch a really good BYU team and how they match up, and the rivalry and all of what that brings, and fans in the stands. I mean, next week's going to be, you know, depending on what happens with BYU tomorrow night, going to be a really, really exciting game. It's going to be a very competitive football game.
We're gonna take another break here when we come back. Last half hour of the program here from the FanFest in Las Vegas. Just us and a few thousand BYU fans, no big deal, here at this massive park, by the way, in Las Vegas. It's an awesome place to be able to get a bunch of people in here. Yes, as much candy as you can stuff in the pockets here. Let's go. So we're going to come right back. We've got our NFL roundup. Boy, this week, not being able to have even a preseason game to talk about. That hushed, weird, quiet period. Scott's going to tell us what you do in that week of getting ready for your first game in the NFL. Plus, our two-minute drill is coming up. Stay right here with us. More to go in KSL's Unrivaled.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.